Exposure.
Pulse 95 live from Exposure at the Expo Center Sharjah.
Yes, you're listening to our live coverage right here from Exposure at Expo Center Sharjah. It's been such a fantastic day, and the day has only begun. Joining us, though, is a true legend in the world of photography, Rick Smolin. He flourished against all odds. He is a New York Times best-selling author, photojournalist with over 5 million books in print. He's also a Time, Life, and National Geographic photographer, and he's actually the man behind the Day in the Life series, which was actually initially turned down by 35 publishers, yet it still became the best-selling illustrated book series in publishing history. Rick has also been an innovator in other ways. He has published smartphone-enabled books and award-winning television specials and also the Webby Award-winning applications. Today, he is known to be the CEO of Against All Odds Productions, very fitting, and we are very excited to have you right here on the show, Rick Smolin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Inviting me, this is a real honor. Thank you.
Rick, you have such an exciting career journey that I can't wait to get into. But to start with, how did you first fall in love with photography, and how did you decide to turn it into a career?
It's very unusual, or it's strange, because I was painfully shy when I was a kid. I always felt like everybody in the world except me there was something in their toolkit that told them how to talk to strangers and how to start up a conversation. I was like petrified of talking to other people. And my dad gave me a camera when I was 16. And suddenly, I could walk up to girls and talk to them and people in general. And people wanted me there. And it was like I could insert myself into every other group. I could, with the athletes, with the hippies, or the cheerleaders, or the football people. And I always felt like I was sort of an outsider looking in. But suddenly, the camera was my sort of passport. Mm. So I didn't think it was a career. I just thought it was a way of, it was like I had something wrong with me, and the camera helped me overcome that. And then it turned out I was good at taking pictures. And so I never studied photography. It was,
wow,
self-taught.
I love that. Especially, you know, for those like yourself, you know, for a lot of us, we have to try to learn that craft at an almost like an academic level. But there's something more unique, almost like a gritty, you know, style to those who learn it themselves. But you're more than a photographer. You're also somebody who transitioned into editing and becoming a producer. How was that transition like?
Well, I should say that, are you guys familiar with imposter syndrome?
Yes, I know.
A little bit, fake it till you make it?
Yeah, so yes. Like I always, so every time I got a job, like, as I said, I never studied photography. So my art professor said, you know, you have a really good eye. I have a friend that worked at Time magazine. You should go show him your work. And I said, well, what would I do? He said, just take the yearbook to Time magazine. So, you know, my dad and I, by the way, used to fight because my dad, even though he'd given me the camera, you know, I said, Dad, I want to be a photographer, whatever that means. And he goes, no, you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer because you got to support yourself. Being a photographer is like doing baby portraits and wedding. And I'm not sending you to college for that. And so we fought. He wouldn't let me go to any college with a photography program because he didn't want to encourage me. And so when I got out of college and I took my yearbook up to Time magazine and I actually got like hired. Every time I was a freelancer, so I didn't have a salary. Every job could have been my last. And every time I got a job, I would get high. I would think, oh my, I can't believe I'm working for Time magazine. And then a minute later, I'd go, oh my God, they're going to figure out I'm an imposter and I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. And they're going to screw it up and then I'll never get hired again. And so I would go, I'd have these bursts of adrenaline and then terror. And it turns out, I didn't know this, but I'm an adrenaline junkie. Mm. I mean, I am much better when I'm terrified. When I'm overconfident, that's when I screw up. Mm. So you were asking about how did I start doing other things. I need to always throw myself out in the middle of the lake because I need to keep stretching. I get bored really easily. Mm. And so I need to keep, I'm like a fish or a shark that needs to keep moving or it drowns, you know, that sort of thing. So I love technology. Mm. Book publishing is an old-fashioned, you know, art or business. And so I've always tried adding some cool technological twist to my books. Mm. So you know, we do smartphone-enabled books, so you can point your smartphone at a picture in the last three books I've done, and it plays a TED Talk or a YouTube video or a commercial or a documentary. We did the first mass customized books ever published. So we did a book called America 24/7. So we sent 1,000 photographers around the United States for a week.
Crazy.
But then you could upload a picture of your dog or your parents' wedding from 50 years ago. And when you got your copy of the book, they were on the cover of a New York Times bestselling book with the logo, with the reviews. And it was like, people come to your house and say, wait, is that your dog? Those are your kids? How did they get on the cover of this book? And so, you know Oprah Winfrey?
Mm-hmm.
So Oprah Winfrey heard about this, and she put her dogs on the cover of the book. And then she has a program called Oprah's Favorite Things,
yes,
where everybody in the audience gets a car or you know an Apple computer or something. So she gave our book, a coupon for our book, to everybody.
No.
So 80,000 people tried ordering the book within 10 minutes after
wow.
her show. So anyway, long-winded answer to your question.
No, but I love that passion you have. You know, you're a man of many experiences, and I know you maybe feel like, you know, that imposter syndrome. But I think sooner or later, I'm sure you've reached that point where it's like, I got this. You know, I wish.
No, I get insecure all the time. I mean, it feels like the myth of Sisyphus, where I've got to push the rock to the top
of the
hill
again.
Down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because nobody would publish my books at the beginning.
Mm. That was always a fear.
Well, it was a fear, but so the way that I actually published my first book, I had to self-publish it.
Mm.
So I had photographed the Prime Minister of Australia for Time magazine, and he liked me. I was this long-haired hippie kid. And so he was one of the few politicians I've ever met who actually liked photographers.
Mm.
And so I went to him. I said, look, I want to do a book about your country. I love Australia. I'd done quite a few stories there. And I said, I'd like to bring 100 photographers to Australia and kind of do like the Olympics of photography, a little bit like the Exposure Expo. I mean, what Simon's done here is extraordinary, right? He brought 200 photographers here. Well, I wanted to bring 100 from 30 countries to Australia. Every publisher said, crazy idea, cost too much. Buy stock photos from Getty Photo. Who would ever know if it wasn't one day? I mean, it was, anyway, very cynical. So I went to the Prime Minister and said, look, would you help me bring 100 photographers to your country?
Mm.
And he said, I don't have that kind of budget. I mean, I don't have that, but I'll help you. And I said, you know, don't be polite. He says, no, I'm not being polite, but here's my idea. I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to set up meetings for you with the CEO of Qantas, the CEO of Kodak Australia, this guy Steve Jobs starting this computer company.
Yes.
And I said, well, what I want to talk to these business people, I'm trying to do a photo book. And he said, Rick, you're going to ask them for free hotel rooms and airline tickets and film and computers. And I said, they're just going to give me this because I'm a nice guy. He said, no, because you're going to put their logo on the first page of your book. Well, no one had ever done sponsored books before. They'd done like, you know, commercial books, like annual reports, but a journalistic book sponsored. I said, well, you know, I can't do that because that would be selling out. I'm a journalist. He said, Rick, it's like a PBS special. You just say, this book was made possible through the generosity of, you know, Kodak and Qantas and Apple Computer. So, it didn't occur to me if the Prime Minister of Australia set up a meeting for you, people would kind of at least listen seriously. So people gave me airline tickets and film and computers, and I had no money. I invited the photographers. I said, look, I have no money to pay you. I can get you a hotel room and a car and film. And if I ever make any money, I'm going to split it with the photographers, which we did years later. So the first book, self-published, became the number one book in Australia. And then I was going to go back to being a photographer. I could barely add up my expenses at the end of assignment. The idea of me running a company, my friends would have fallen over laughing because I'm like Mr. Disconnected, Mr. ADD. But it was so successful that then we did Hawaii and then, you know, Japan and China and Italy. And it was just the whole thing. I look backwards and there were so many incredible twists of fate. I'm not religious, but I kind of feel like every time I get in trouble, something happens that saves me from myself.
Guardian angel. I'll tell you, man, Rick, there's something about just the way you tell your life experiences. You're a man on the edge, in a sense.
In a good way.
In a good way, yes. And this is why I urge our listeners to check out your Stage X talk session titled Against All Odds, happening on March 4th, 5 p.m. And I'm sure you're quite the storyteller. There are those who, if you guys are dabbling in the craft, you know, maybe you feel that imposter syndrome yourself. Listen to Rick. He's a man who has a lifetime worth of experience in this industry.
Can I say one more thing? Which is, I also, do you know who Adam Driver is?
You didn't know.
Do you know who he is?
I know Adam Driver.
Okay, so Adam Driver plays me in a movie called Tracks. And we're showing it here.
Okay.
I think we're showing it on Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember what time. It's on the theater.
Wow.
I should know.
But I'll have to check that out.
It's a love story, a dog story, an adventure story, and a mystery. It's about a girl that walked 2,000 miles alone across the Australian outback with four camels and a dog. And I was sent by National Geographic to film her, and she hated me. And she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever met until I met my wife.
No.
But at the time, this woman was stunningly beautiful and just wanted to be alone. And she's now stuck with this jerk from New York who's been sent to photograph her. So the movie, and Adam plays me in the movie as this really doofusy guy from New York.
That's amazing.
It's a wonderful movie. It's made by the guys that did The King's Speech.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to show that movie.
All right.
And then I'm going to talk about it in my talk.
Phenomenal.
So I hope your audience and listeners will come.
Oh, do check out the TalkX session Tracks. Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have the film screening venue. You can look at the timings, Tracks, check it out. And just to kind of wrap it up, what sort of advice you can give to those who are probably picking up the camera for the first time, feeling that insecurity, looking for the confidence that they can't find?
I always tell people, because I get this question a lot from young photographers or old photographers, just people that are starting, which is find something you're really passionate about and just keep coming at it from different angles.
Mm.
I mean, just photograph the heck out of it. And then, because if I'm an editor and you want me to hire you, I want to see how you shoot for yourself. So, you know, just keep, don't just shoot it once. Like, come back and do close-ups, do you know, interviews with a photographer. Nowadays, if you want to be a photographer, you need to do audio, you need to do video, you need to do stills, you have to be a storyteller. You know, you put yourself in the perspective of the audience, and like, how can you tell the story in a brand new, fresh way?
Mm. You know, what's interesting about you is throughout your entire career, you always took risks that no one around you did. How did you get the courage to do that? Especially when you're feeling, you know, it's not just
overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's not just the outside struggle, and also, you know, having to prove things to your parents, but also internally.
It's proving to yourself. I guess, as I said, I'm better when I'm terrified. So the risks, I'm almost drawn to the things that frighten me, because I
like
get my energy from
it,
that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So that was your push.
I think so.
Aww. Well, it was such an honor having you on the
thanks
show.
Thanks so much.
An absolute legend from the industry. Someone you can actually get this chance to see in person, his exhibition and his Stage X talk right here at the 8th edition of Exposure. We're going to take a short break and continuing to highlight the daily agenda and getting a chance also to talk with more world-class photographers only here on Pulse 95.